Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, Oprah Winfrey, your girl, once lived with John Tesh. Who's the oddest person you ever dated?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. This is awkward. John Tesh.
Oh, no.
It's so just awkward.
No. Can I ask... threesome? Was this simultaneous living condition?
As soon as I saw that synthesizer he had, you know what I'm saying? John Tesh, blonde, beautiful. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Big Ben visits the commish, Donovan McNabb visits with us, and we visit with you. What's up? But we begin today with Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger, in a new short haircut and a coat and tie, went to the NFL offices in New York City and met with Roger Goodell for hours. Before that meeting, Steeler legend Terry Bradshaw was very critical of Roethlisberger, and former New York Giant Amani Toomer called for Roethlisberger to be suspended for 8 games.
Whoa.
Mike, should Ben Roethlisberger be suspended?
Certainly not for 8 games. And I don't know if he should be suspended. I know that all industries and workplaces reserve the right to say, hey, wait a minute, we've got these rules we want you to live by, and if you violate them, even if you are not charged with violating the law, we may impose them. But you may warn them, you may meet with them and say, Ben, we need you to be more careful about this. We need you to look more closely at places you would like to go, and you have every right to go, but perhaps given your profile, you cannot. But to suspend him, I don't see the need for that.
I think he will either be suspended by the league or by the team that he plays for. I think that the tipping point was the DA yesterday referring to the complainant as the victim time and time and time again, and implying quite clearly that he felt that some sort of crime had been committed, but he just could not get a conviction on it. You know, and I watched Ben Roethlisberger yesterday read his prepared statement. I thought it was very perfunctory. I was glad to see that he changed his whole appearance to meet with Roger Goodell. But I do think, Mike, I think he's going to be suspended. And I think part of this may even have a racial component in this regard, that black players, and I'm talking specifically about Pac-Man Jones, he was suspended without being charged with a crime. And in a league that has probably 70% black players, how do you say to them that a white quarterback gets a different standard of justice?
Well, the standard depends on what the misbehavior or alleged misbehavior is. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't equate what Ben Roethlisberger has now been. He won't be charged
with.
Won't be charged with something. Pac-Man Jones, repeated behavior? I don't know that I'm drawing any parallel there, regardless of race. And
well,
I know what you're saying,
there's
Tony.
There's sort of been a reckless
there's
behavior
an
by Roethlisberger.
Okay.
I'm just saying that if you are the commissioner of a sport,
yeah,
you are playing to a much wider field than just
you
one
are.
Team and one player.
That's true.
And
you gotta be careful.
You may want to establish yourself as being totally even-handed in this.
Yeah, this is a very delicate situation, Tony. I still don't know that it warrants a suspension.
Well, you know what? I'm not even saying it warrants it so much as I'm saying I think that's
what
in
happened?
The tea leaves.
You may be right. 4 days before the Charlotte Bobcats make the franchise's very first NBA playoff appearance, Coach Larry Brown is preparing to bolt for Philadelphia to run the Sixers. And Michael Jordan, whom Larry adores like an eldest son, now owns the Bobcats, but has given Brown his blessing. Tony, how much of this story exactly surprises you?
I know you know what I'm going to say because I've known Larry Brown all my life, and it doesn't surprise me that he would do this. I'm not saying he will, but he would. He goes from franchise to franchise. He's brought 8 different franchises into the playoffs. What surprises me a little is that he is close with Michael Jordan, and the team is doing very well in Charlotte.
Very well.
And Philadelphia stinks. And so, you know what I mean? That's the part
that
gives me pause.
He's done this before.
Yes.
He left Kansas with a national championship.
Yes.
Is that when he went to the Clippers or the Nets?
Yes, he went to L.A.
I mean, he's gone to places before that stink. And
he's a fixer-upper.
Here's what you know when you get Larry Brown. You know your franchise is going to be dramatically better on the court. And you know he ain't there for long. Look,
that's right.
Here's why I'm not surprised at any of it, Tony. Because in this case, at least his employer, Michael Jordan, and you know how close they are. Come on, I mean,
Smith people are close.
And these two are preposterously close. Okay.
Very.
At least Michael's aware of every step of this. In Detroit, I remember sitting in Larry Brown's office, him doing PTI, and you said to him, Larry, Have you had contact with whoever the next place he was going to go? And Larry told us, yes. And we were both like, oh, my God, this is what happens with Larry.
There's another part of this, too, and that is that Larry's wife and school-age children
live in Philly,
have remained
right?
in Philadelphia, even yeah. through New York and through yeah. Charlotte. Yes.
And guess what, Tony? Charlotte, if they were playing Atlanta or if they were playing Boston, would win a first-round series. They really would.
LeBron James, who is not injured at all, has missed three games in a row and may miss the last game of the season to rest for the playoffs. This so angered columnist Tim Povtak of FanHouse.com that he wrote he would not vote for LeBron as MVP. Povtak wrote, quote, if he doesn't think it's important enough to play all 82 or at least try, then he isn't good enough to be the MVP, unquote.
Ooh.
Wilbon, fair?
No. No, LeBron James is the MVP, and number of games, he played 47 games, so no, we disagree there. But here's the point. There's a real split here, Tony. Talking to Byron Scott on Sunday on ABC, he talked about Pat Riley saying, no, it's not a vote here. You guys are going to rest. He wouldn't even let certain players travel because he knew if they traveled, they would talk themselves, Irvin Johnson being one of them, onto the floor. So Pat Riley said, no, you're resting. We've got this wrapped up. Michael Jordan, okay, who could have sat because his team was often had something wrapped up, played 82 games 9 times in his last 13 seasons. He felt he owed it to people like it was a concert to go out there and perform for them. And he said, no, we're not sitting
yeah.
when Bill Jackson was asked from on high, hey, can you sit those guys? Jordan and Pippen said, no, there's no sitting. Yeah, I understand this.
I think this is different than the NFL where you can get injured. And it's a one and out situation.
Well, Brandon Roy got injured.
The answer to this for me is Michael Jordan, who gave full faith and credit to every ticket buyer. Because this is a star league, not a team league. And Michael Jordan understood
yep.
that people came to see him. And I would say to LeBron James, I don't care about the MVP vote. I would say to LeBron James, play 25 minutes, pal.
Yeah, play some.
Play 25 minutes, because they're coming to see you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, they're not coming to see Ilgauskas. They're not. They're coming
they're
to see you.
They're not going to see
you. They're actually not.
They're not going to see Big Z.
No. No.
I agree with you, Tom. Finally, somebody's calling out the Yanks and Sox for their ridiculous slow play. Veteran umpire Joe West said last week that Major League Baseball should do something to shorten Yanks-Sox games because they averaged more than 3.5 hours and the season opener last week took nearly 4. Well, yesterday, Bud Selig said the pace of the game is what one has to look at. Tony, what, if anything, should Major League Baseball do?
Look, I agree that most games are too long. Okay, I don't think the Sox and Yanks are too long. I think that's like getting to see George Clooney and Matt Damon do not one movie together, but 2 movies together. That's the one exception I would make. They're the best 2 teams in baseball. They're the best draw in baseball when they play each other. They're trying to get through the lineups of the other teams. You can feel the hatred being thrown off, and so I make an exception for the Yanks and Sox.
I don't hold the Yanks and Sox in the reverence that you do.
I do.
Their games are too stupid long. Their games are ridiculously long.
They
get in the box.
People
stop rubbing yourself down between every pitch, okay? Get in the box. You can't make a rule just for the Yanks and the Sox. You got to make a league-wide rule. And the league-wide rule is this. There's no stepping out, okay? You can go out to the mound one time. Actually, if you go out to the mound, you got to change. Oh, you can communicate. You can scream out to the mound. These trips to the mound which take forever. These pitching changes which take forever. You can't legislate a guy fouling off pitches. And that's what happens in
that's
these Yanks-Sox games.
They want to get through the
they
lineup.
They do. But you can't step out of the box like Big Poppy and have a shower and a sandwich every time you come to bat. Don't excuse that junk, Tony.
Yanks
and
Sox,
because you're
in
awe of the Yanks and Sox. Get them out.
Wondering out loud why Jermaine Dye and Gary Sheffield are not playing Major League Baseball this year. Orlando Hudson, the second baseman of the Twins, seemed to imply that one answer might be racism. Hudson's exact words to Yahoo were, quote, we both know what it is. You'll get it right. You'll figure it out. I'm not going to say it because then I'll be in trouble, unquote. Mike, do you see the possibility of racism in this?
Yes, I see the possibility in a lot of places. But the reality is, Tony, Major League Baseball is too proactive in this area. I understand the frustration as you see African-American participation diminish over the years. Okay, when you have guys like Jimmy Lee Solomon of Major League Baseball, who spends his life trying to figure out a lot of things, but one of them is how to increase participation at the grassroots level so that you widen your pool. When you have Kenny Williams of the White Sox have programs locally, I know because I've gone as a guest to be sort of involved in one. These guys commit their lives to a lot of things, but these are among them. So no, Major League Baseball is too proactive. Bud Selig, too proactive. I get the frustration, but they're fighting, Tony, a cultural obsession with basketball.
Right.
I'm a living example of that. I got into sports to be a sports writer to cover baseball. Now I never go, and I'm covering basketball for a living.
Sheffield, 41 years old. Jermaine Dye turned down a $3 million
Jermaine
deal.
Jermaine Dye is a hell of a player.
Yeah, and turned down money. No, I think there's always the possibility of racism, but in this particular case, I don't see it looming. Look at who's the best young prospect out there, Jason Hayward of the Braves. And yeah. I do think baseball started all these good
but
things.
But, Tony, Jermaine Dye should not be out there. Jermaine Dye should be in a uniform. He can play.
Time for a break. When we return, Donovan McNabb lets us know how he's fitting in with his new team.
And later, who's more likely to win the U.S. Open? Phil or Tiger?
Yanks and Sox, baby. We make an exception.
You just slurp them.
Get the latest soccer news both on and off the field with the SoccerNet podcast. Download it now at the iTunes Music Store and at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Just what we need around here, another Chicago guy.
That's right.
We welcome in Redskins quarterback Donovan F. McNabb. The Eagles traded you inside the division where you could come back and haunt them twice a year. A, were you surprised? And B, do you look forward to haunting them?
Yes, I was surprised. But being with an organization for 11 years, you would hope that somehow if they made that decision, they would take care of you. I don't look at it as haunting them. I look at it as an opportunity for me to move into another organization, try to turn that organization around and having positive thoughts of obviously having more wins than usual and getting this thing back on track.
Donovan, as shocking as the trade was to you, I know one of the first reactions you had, because we talked that night, was Shanahan going to play for Mike Shanahan is a good thing if I'm going to have change. Right. Why did you feel like that initially?
Well, initially, when the trade happened and I had an opportunity to be here with Shanahan, I thought it'd be an outstanding thing because of his track record and the things that he's been able to accomplish with young quarterbacks as well as some of the older quarterbacks. You look at the young quarterbacks of Jay Cutler and the success that he had of being a Pro Bowler, the stats he put up, what they were able to do all throughout that year. And then you go back to when John Elway played, of his career pretty much being very similar to mine, where making it to conference titles and he making it a little further to Super Bowls, but not winning it. And people saying that he's not able to do it and he's not able to win the big game and thinking that, you know, maybe we should draft a young guy. But I guess they may have kind of went to their senses of staying with him. But he brought a different philosophy to John Elway. And that's the philosophy is obviously running the ball, setting a play action, playing to his strengths. And letting the defense, you know, do their thing. And I think that's what we have over here in Washington. Everyone's kind of getting accustomed to a system. And it's going to be something that's going to, I think, open up eyes across the league.
Donovan, nobody is more familiar with the drama of Philadelphia than you are. What has been the reaction from what you've heard from your friends and buddies and now former teammates back in Philly about this deal?
Well, you know what? You know, people still kind of question why I had to go through that all throughout my career. And, you know, again, I didn't really focus on that then, and I'm definitely not focusing on it now. My main focus is based around what we're doing here in Washington. You know, I'm excited to be here, looking forward to wearing the good burgundy and white and gold and just getting guys on their feet. And just when the offense is out, you just don't know what you're going to see. And I know the fans here in D.C. just communicating with a lot of them in the area. They're excited as well.
I'm glad that you said it was the burgundy and gold. Jim Zorn called it the maroon and black when he got here.
That wasn't good.
I'm going to ask you the pointed question, though, because the game is going to be on big-time national TV. The first time you return to Philadelphia, will you be booed or will you be cheered?
Well, I hope I'll be cheered. You know, I think the thing that I've been able to accomplish kind of overweighs the feelings that some may have had. I think a lot of times people focus so much on the low percentage of people who call in the radio stations to vent, to feel like they need to get something off their chest, or people who want to write articles about how their neighbor is feeling, or, you know, somebody in the local gym and sitting in the sauna wanted to express to them. But I've been able to accomplish a lot, individuals as well as team. You can't take away the 11 years of the 65% win percentage that we put up. you know, the five NFC championships, the one Super Bowl appearance, although we didn't win the big game, and I apologize for the fans for that. But I gave them all that I had, and that was every week. And now I've moved on, and I believe they should too.
You know, I'm from New York, and Wilbon is from Chicago, but both of us have lived in Washington now for 30 years. This is the most stunning single trade that I have ever seen in those 30 years. And I'm going to give you a talk show kind of question. And it goes like this.
Okay.
It's a business. Why would they trade him within the division if they didn't think he was done? When you get that question, how do you respond?
Well, first of all, thank you. Secondly, you know, why would it happen? I don't think we'll ever find the answer until probably we're all said and done and retired, and then we'll probably get that answer later. But Sonny Jurgens is the guy who obviously kind of set the tone for me of being traded, you know, from Philly here to Washington. So I'm just following suit, and hopefully I can follow suit just like he did by winning and holding that prize up and bringing more excitement here to the D.C. area.
Thank you, Donovan.
Thank you,
Will
Donovan.
Bond and I are season ticket holders. We will watch. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys, and you have a splendid evening.
Let's take a break, but coming up, could the NBA be better off if the Thunder beat the Lakers in the first round?
And Kenyon Martin had a nice block last night, but was Lionel Hollins' block even better? Sounds like toss-up is next. So do you know it's always good to have another Southsider in town?
Racing fans, get the latest news from NASCAR from the J-Ski Podcast featuring Mark Garrow. Download for free at iTunes or on the Pod Center page at ESPNradio.com.
I'm dedicating today's toss-up win to my old friend John Tesh. John, let's let bygones be bygones, my friend. What's first?
Toss-up, better first-round result for the NBA. The Lakers win or the Thunder wins?
This is the 1-8 matchup, the Lakers and Thunder. I'm going to be very brief. It's Lakers win, okay? David Stern would go crazy if the Lakers lost with 7 more weeks to go in the playoffs. Lakers win.
Forget about David Stern. It's the Lakers. They're the number one attraction in pro basketball.
Yes.
And they are the place without a football team. It's the second biggest city in the nation, and it is a community which is basketball first, okay? And that is not the case in other big communities like New York and Chicago, where they are football or baseball first. This is the case in L.A.
People love an underdog, but you don't want Kobe Bryant out of the playoffs. Next.
Right.
Toss-up, more likely to win the U.S. Open, Tiger or Phil?
I'm going to say Tiger, assuming Tiger plays a couple of tournaments before the Open. He's got 3 Open wins. Phil has none, thanks to the tree at Wingfoot. Phil's very good at Pebble, but Tiger has won an Open at Pebble, and there's a revenge factor, Tiger.
Yeah, see, I'm going to say Phil, Tony, because I don't know how much Tiger's going to play. You referred to this when you said, oh, I presume Tiger's going to play. I can't. What's the schedule? I mean, so far it's just sort of play at a friendly place, which is Augusta National, but they're going to be hecklers and all these other folks elsewhere. He's got to play some golf and become sharp again.
Right.
Until we can see that, the answer to me is Phil.
Next.
Toss-up, better block, Kenyon Martin or Lionel Hollins?
Well, let us watch this. You'll see Kenyon Martin swatting it into the stands, then going and saying, give me the ball back, and Lionel Hollins interceding. It is Lionel Hollins with the best block because he's not showing off the way Kenyon Martin is.
Now, you know, Kenyon Martin is an actual tough guy. The Nuggets need him in their lineup, and his return is
important.
Show
off.
But, Tony, you're old enough to remember, as am I, Lionel Hollins was not only a talented player. He was a pretty tough guy when
he's got a ring,
wasn't he?
He's got a ring. How many does Kenyon Martin have? He don't
Come
have a
on
ring.
Now. They don't have to rip Kenyon
Next.
Martin.
Last one. Toss up. Better dunk. Kid Demarion off the backboard or the Pistons mascot trampoline dunk?
This is so unclose. The kid thing is a nice dunk. The feet, it's nice. Watch this mascot 3 times between his legs. That is fabulous, baby. Fabulous.
If Jason Kidd had a trampoline, he'd average 30 assists a game.
But he doesn't.
Because he could go up and have sleight of hand, be like Houdini, and do all this junk. Enough with the trampoline.
If
the answer is Jason Kidd.
If my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a
Jason
bicycle.
Jason Kidd on the hardwood, big boy.
Just another dunk. That's it for toss-up. Winner, right here, babe. We'll take one more break, but still to come, the world champs receive their bling.
And the greatest receiver ever is prepping for his professional golf debut.
Those shorts. Is he wearing those shorts on the course? can't wear those.
No, no, not even on Nationwide. You got to wear pants.
You can't wear those.
Practicing.
Yeah. Happy time, shorties. Happy 59th birthday, Max Weinberg. Mighty Max Weinberg, the longtime drummer of the E Street Band, had been with Conan O'Brien throughout his tenure at NBC. Now the question is whether Max will go to basic cable with Conan. Wilbon, would you ever stoop to doing a show on basic cable?
Nah, never. Happy 64th birthday to one of my favorite crooners, Al Green. What's your favorite Al Green song, Tony?
The same one as yours.
Love
it. Happy anniversary, Tiger Woods. On this day 13 years ago, Woods became the youngest Masters champion ever. Tiger Woods was such a phenom that the 1997 Masters remains the highest rated final round ever. This surprised me, as I thought last weekend's Masters would easily be number one, and instead it's number three.
No, Tony, more people tuning in at network TV in 1997 for sure.
Happy trails, Brandon Roy. Roy has torn meniscus in his knee and may be done for the season. He says he wants to play through the pain in the playoffs, but the usual recovery from this injury involves surgery and 4 to 6 weeks of rest.
This, of course, is the argument for why LeBron would sit and not play, Tony, this injury.
I understand that. I'm just saying play 25 minutes. Time to find out what we messed up, reality.
Somehow, someway, you confused Larry Brown's coaching history. I don't know how that's possible, seeing as he had 13 stops, but after Kansas, Tone, was San Antonio, then the Clippers. The Nets were before Kansas. And then since the Spurs and Clippers, there were the Pacers, Sixers, Pistons, Knicks, Bobcats.
Hard to keep track.
And that's where we are now.
It takes everybody to the playoffs. Shout outs, Wilbon. Who are you shouting out to?
Cede my time to you, Tony. Who are you shouting out
to? I'm going to shout out to Janine, to Doe, to Ray, to everybody else at Pinehurst Golf. Had a great time. And with creative accounting, I got under 100 on number two. We're taking a break. There's more PTI to come, including the Yankees get their rings.
My invite to Pinehurst must have gotten lost. We're back in a few minutes. Until then, let's toss it up to SportsCenter.
Good night, Canada. They actually said they want you and your brother to go there.
Oh, okay.
So you're okay. Welcome back to the PTI program. Okay, Mike. Stan Van Gundy, your boy, says the media has made it so that the MVP award is basically LeBron's to lose every year. Do you agree?
No, it's absurd. You know, Stan just likes saying things to hear himself talk sometimes. If anything, there's going to be a media backlash at some point, and folks are going to say, you know, I'm tired of this. I voted for LeBron every year. And they'll throw one to, you know, Carmelo or Dwight Howard, which is what Stan Van's doing. He's lobbying for his boy, which
yes.
is always a good thing because
yes.
he's deserving of MVP consideration every year, particularly now. But, Tony, Magic won three. Jordan won five. But Bird won three. Karl Malone two. Duncan two. Nash two. Shaq one. Kobe won. It gets spread around. Nobody's going to dominate this, and LeBron's not going to dominate it either. So Stan Van would be wrong.
I like Stan Van running his yap. He's sort of like the Rex Ryan of the NBA.
I enjoy it.
I think he's wrong on this one. I mean, Kobe may not have many MVP years left. Maybe has
right.
one or something
Couple.
Like that.
Yeah.
But if Dwight Howard averaged 20 points and 16 rebounds, he would win the MVP. And if Kevin Durant threw 35
That's
a game out there and Oklahoma City got to the finals of the conference, he would win the MVP.
Yep.
You're 100% correct. Stan Van is simply lobbying to get his boy to win the MVP.
And
because
it's okay.
LeBron's not going to win 10 of them.
No,
he's
and
not.
Dwight Howard, the last month of the season has been great. I don't think he can get up his rebounds to 16. That's a place. It's a number we don't see anymore. Tony.
Make people miss.
Too many guys on the floor rebound. Like the days when you played when there was one guy rebounding.
Only one. When I played, only one guy over 6 feet. 1 minute left. We go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Carmelo Anthony may skip the world championships this summer to get married. You okay with that?
Yeah, he plays every summer. He's a two-time Olympian. He can have a summer off. The Yankees got their World Series rings today. What do you think?
I thought they were big. I thought they were gaudy. I thought they looked like championship rings. Albert Pujols passed Eddie Matthews for the most homers ever in the first 10 years of a career. You're impressed, aren't you?
Everything Pujols does is impressive. Everything. Clemson has hired Wright State coach Brad Brownell. Tell us about him, Tone.
You're looking at him. That's a little picture. I don't know anything about him. The ACC's big time. Jerry Rice will make his pro golf debut at a nationwide tour event this week. How's he going to do?
He's going to have a great time. Not going to be on a leaderboard. Come on, he's just a good, but good for Jerry. The Augusta Chronicles reports that Phil wore his green jacket through the Krispy Kreme drive-thru yesterday morning. You like that?
I think it's great. I hope he got the melted sugar all over the green. I think
sure
that's great. Last one, Celtics and Bulls tonight. Who you got?
The Bulls have to win. The Celtics are locked into their spot. Bulls have to win this game.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheim.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. Check out the podcast on iTunes. Let's go back to Bristol.
Monty Toomer, 8 games? Come on, go to your room.
BTI.